Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is installation, configuration, and business space security. Today's presenter is Sergio Arbu. Sergio joined Application and Integration Middleware Technical Support in March 2004. In this capacity, he is responsible for supporting BPM tools, including WebSphere Business Modeler, Monitor and Publishing Services, Compass, and Business Space. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sergio.
Thank you, Kathy. Let's go ahead and move to the next slide, slide number two. And this is going to be my brief agenda here. Well, not so brief. But basically, I'm going to go ahead and start off with a business space overview, some introduction, a little integration reference architecture for that business space overview. I'm going to show you what processing engines business space runs on, and some of the products that are supported, that we support development for business space. Then we'll go into some business space configuration, including WebSphere application server security, as related to business space specifically. We'll do Lightwork LDAP, also LTPA, which is third-party authentication, some secure socket layers. We'll get into a little bit of profile management for deployment using standalone and clustered environments. We'll talk a little bit about packaging and deploying custom widgets, and a little bit more about removing a business space profile. After that, we'll talk specifically about business space security, including user roles, creating and changing super users, and creating and changing administrators, or also known as super user groups for business space. So if you don't mind, Kathy, we would like to go to slide number three. Okay, so basically, this is starting the overview. What is business space? Basically, it's a GUI for delivering aggregated content via a web browser. So it's basically a collection of related web content in the form of widgets. We call all of our applications in business space widgets, and built to provide insight into your business. You can have many business spaces present on business space and run all of them at the same time. Within a number of tab pages. Each space is set up to provide pages relevant to that particular role, so you can kind of come in and define them on your own depending on the business function for that business space. Okay, so these business space widgets access REST APIs, which are, used by multiple business process management products. And we'll go into that in slide number four. These are the processing, if you don't mind, Kathy, we'll go to slide number four. Thank you. So these are the processing engines, or some of the processing engines of business space. And you can deploy business space onto a number of different BPM products, like WebSphere Application Server, and we're going to assume WebSphere Application Server 7.0, for instance, throughout this presentation. You can deploy business space into the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, WebSphere Process Server, and WebSphere Business Service Fabric. You can also install it into, a WebSphere Integration Developer if you have a toolkit packaged into that WebSphere Integration Developer. Let's go ahead and move to slide number five, and we'll talk a little bit about the reference architecture. Okay, so basically, where does business space sit? It provides the user interface, which are interaction services, that are mostly used by the business process, which are process services here, highlighted in the yellow box. You can think of business space as being, a user interaction space. And it's primarily used for the BPM suite of products, but there's other products that do use business space. Most of the pluggable user interface components that make up business space are derived from the BPM product stack. Again, like I think I mentioned, you can also build your own interface and widgets to access applications by calling custom REST APIs. And I'd like to move to slide number six. now, Kathy. Okay. So these are some of the products that support the development of business space, like business process monitor, WebShare process server, the enterprise service bus, WebShare business compass, WebShare business service fabric. Again, you can install it as a toolkit environment in WebShare integration developer, and we actually have a kind of custom code in WebShare business modeler that kind of sets a little business space in that environment. So this diagram shows the business space framework, and that top layer is the business space representation. And the middle layer is the products that I just talked about that directly contribute to the content of business space. And that bottom layer represents the products that indirectly contribute, so via plugins or toolkits or something like that, through one of our middle layer products. And if you don't mind, Kathy, I'd like to go to the next slide, which is slide number 7. Okay, that was the brief overview of business space. We're going to move on to business space configuration, and we'll start with the WebShare application server security. So slide number 8 starts that. And I'll just wait for that to refresh. Okay, so this is the WebShare application security overview as related to the business space specifically. So we have various layers of security, and I'll try to discuss them all in this presentation. But the first layer to consider when dealing with business space is WebShare application server security. So you have a few options to configure business space using WebShare application security. You have your local operating system. You know, the users and groups are retrieved from the operating system itself, typically used in the ZOS. And I have a link here on how a super user group can be defined for the local OS security. It's a little bit different. Basically, you'll go into the local OS, and it's described in this link. You go into the admin console, of course, and the resource environment providers, and look at a mashups underscore config services for all of the scopes, check a custom property, and basically set this custom property to, you know, your group name. Of course, save the changes and restart that server for all security, and that should be good to go. That's linked in that link. The standalone LDAP, users and groups are retrieved from an LDAP repository using LDAP protocol. Okay. Use of LDAP group administrators to assign business space in vSAN standalone. All users in LDAP group use like CN equals administrators, and they can manage business space templates, which are really call these super users. And although we've seen a lot of improvements in the standalone LDAP over the past year, it's still not the best practice to use a standalone LDAP. So we also discourage the use of any non-VMM configuration. We're working with BPM products and business space in particular. So really what we want to look at or use is federated repositories. This allows the configuration of various user repositories and presents them as a single user repository to the WebShare application server. So I'll discuss that more later in this presentation. Let's go ahead and move to the next slide, Kathy. I believe that would be slide number 9. Okay. So, again, like I said, in every case, it's the best practice to configure your security before installing business space. Okay, a change in your security strategy, let's say from standalone to federated, or let's say you move from Microsoft Active Directory to Tivoli or One LDAP, will require you to make multiple configuration changes. So we want you to set up security before you do business space, and try not to move your security options, because you're gonna have to do a lot of changes, and I kind of specify a workaround that you'll need to do if you do change your security strategy midstream. So basically, this is one of the workarounds, or the only one of the workarounds I know of. Typically, I'll just go in and remove the entire profile for the business space application server. Let's say I'm doing a monitor profile. I'll remove the whole profile and rebuild it rather than do this. But, you know, this is one way to do it without removing the entire profile. And, you know, you're going to use the same user ID, which was used for the install. This is your super user. You're going to go in to Business Space and delete the welcome page in Business Space using that super user. Uninstall the consuming product that you use to install Business Space. So you'll go in and probably into the Launchpad and uninstall that. Configure the LDAP security for WASP for the change. So you'll go, let's say, from standalone security to federated, you know, and delete all the rows from the file store path and the file store file tables. And these were created when you first created your Business Space. You use the, you know, the BAT or SH files and SQL files in the DB scripts directory to recreate the database, right? And then you're going to, you know, set these import flags for this property files to true. There's two properties to actually send that property file. You'll resync the nodes and restart the cluster. And that should, you know, you've already created the Business Space tables and everything. You've already reset the security. So once you log back into the Business Space, you know, using the super user, of course, that super user will get, you know, basically uploaded to the new database, and you should be good to go, you know, with a new security configuration. So those are some of the considerations you would think about doing if you change your security strategy midstream. And we'll just move to slide number 10 now and talk about the recommended method of, you know, setting security from the get-go would be doing the federated repositories. You know, the actual implementation that can be federated are LDAP, customer repositories, databases, and file-based implementations. So you can really, you know, bring in everything into the federated repository. It provides you also with additional capabilities in your widgets and frameworks, such as enhanced search capabilities, right? When searching for users to share spaces and pages, the search scope includes email, a user's full name and user ID, and you have to, you know, use the federated repository in order to leverage multiple domains as well. So, you know, Business Space is just another application that is deployed in WASP, and therefore most of the underlying security is controlled by the in the WASP admin console. Business Space doesn't properly leverage WebSphere application server security. So, you know, customized group membership is ignored. Business Space authorization for spaces and pages can only be seen in group memberships from the configured WASP user registry. So other things to consider when thinking about the WebSphere application server security. Let's go a little bit deeper, dive into it, and go into slide number 11 to show you some of the things we're looking at on federated repository example. This is just an example of, you know, how to set up the federated repository. You know, in this case, I'm using a Tivoli directory server. You know, I put in the primary host name as the IP. You can put in the host name as, let's say, you know, a name dot IBM.com, for instance, and the appropriate port number. Here, since I am using a federated repository, I have to put in the fully qualified distinguished name for my user ID. As you can see, it's UID equals WSBind, and then I have my, you know, comma CN equals node, and DC equals IBM, DC equals com, and I put in my bind password, you know, as set up in my LDAP, and I'll click on OK at this point, or you can click on apply or OK at this point, and it basically should come up with, you know, a page at the end giving you a success or failure message. If you fail, basically it's going to tell you something like, you know, this user ID and password combination could not be found, so it's not going to be able to add it as a federated repository. So you can quickly troubleshoot what the problems are in this page using, you know, different combinations of user IDs and passwords, your host and port, of course. Let's go ahead and move to slide number 12, Kathy. And here we'll talk a little bit about the LTPA and SSL in regards to what's your application server security. So if Business Space is hosted on a different cell from where the rest of your products that you use Business Space are, and this is a typical configuration, you need to configure single sign-on. And basically we call this a cross-cell configuration. Right, so the first thing you do is you export your LTPA keys from one cell to the other. And you go to the security section, secure administration, authentication mechanisms, specify a password for that temporary file, and select export. You import those LTPA keys into the other cells, so it's the same path, the same password that you specified previously, and the file from earlier that you exported previously, and you, instead of exporting it this time, you import it. We want to disable automatic LTPA key generation in all cells. By default, in WAS 6.1, for instance, generates new key cells every few weeks, and WAS version 7 is off by default, but it's a good practice to go in there and validate that it's always off. So basically, if you don't disable this, the cells won't maintain compatible keys. So we want to go to, you know, security SSL key set groups. I think I have a screenshot for this in the next slide. Cell LTPA key set group and uncheck that automatically generate keys option. From time to time, you should update the keys and regenerate them in one cell and repeat the above steps to share across the cells. And let's go ahead and show the screenshot on the next slide, which is slide number 13. And this is a screenshot of what I was talking about in that same section of security SSL key set groups. So here's the single sign-on. This is actually where you would import the keys, right? After import, the keys have a new key version. Old keys are still there to prevent an outage for already issued tokens. The next slide actually has the thing I was talking about, which is with automatic generate keys. So if you don't mind, Kathy, we'll go to slide number 14. And this was the checkbox where you have to check it. You know, if you don't disable this, the keys won't maintain compatible keys across your cell because it's automatically going to generate the keys in one cell and the other cell's not going to have it. So you don't want to do that necessarily, you know. Let's go ahead and move to slide number 15. Okay. So here we're going to talk a bit about secure socket layers, also known as SSL. Okay, so Business Space usually is using HTTPS in the endpoints and secure socket layer certificates that's self-signed. So basically you have to import the SSL certificate. Okay, so I have some information here gathered from ISSW, What's Your Security Presentation Series, that talks in depth about this, linked here. But in order for the servers to communicate over SSL, the initiating server must be able to verify the certificate of the target server. Basically, this requires that the target server signing certificate be in the initiating server's trust store. So to do that, we'll go to slide number 16 and look at this. Okay. So by default, all endpoints in the WAS cell trust store in that cell default trust store, right? They trust the signers in that cell default trust store. We need to import the certificate signers from the target server cell into the initiating server's cell default trust store. So you basically need to export all of the signers from the target cells and import them into the initiating cell's cell default trust store. You can do this manually, or you can use the retrieve signers to import all of the target cell signers. Okay. Be aware that you may be importing some signers you don't need, so consider doing this more carefully if this is a concern. and there's a warning involved to this. If the target cell adds new nodes, communications to the new nodes will fail. So you have to, you know, redo the cell defaults restore for the new nodes. When the target cell replaces existing cell signed certificate communication, you will fail. You have to, you know, basically redo all of this if that is replaced. You'll need to plan on import the new signers when needed. Okay, so, and one of the version 7 improvements is the common cell level signer is good for 15 years. It's not replaced when the certificate is updated, and that's updated by default annually. So you know, only need to share the signer one time and you're done in version 7, which is great. If you don't mind, Kathy, we'll move to slide number 17, and I think this is the last one on importing signers and SSL. Again, you can do this by hand by simply exporting and importing the certificates, or you can actually hack the retrieve signers. Okay, so retrieve signers is intended to update the client trust stores. But we can actually hack into it and update the cell trust store to meet our needs. We should typically do this on the deployment manager system. So we wanted to edit the ssl.client.proposed and look for a stanza like this. And basically all you're looking for is the com.ibm.ssl.truestore equals that's highlighted in bold. So we want to change that to point to the cell trust store in the configuration repository. So I put a typical path for that in bold here. Okay, after we change that that properties file, we want to run the retrieve signers command. So something you might want to do in, let's say, Windows is, of course, the retrieve signers.bat, and, you know, specify cell default trust store, you know, minus cell, this is the entire command. You have to put in the minus host, the deployment manager, and, of course, the port. So that will actually query the remote cell and ask for all the signers in the client default trust store and import them into your, you know, client default trust store for the other machine. So now that points to the local trust store in the configuration repository thanks to our edits. So we want to remove the edits from the props file and force a full resynchronization of all the nodes at that point. And I think that covers that. So if you don't mind, Kathy, we'll move to slide number 18 and moving a little bit away from Wizard Application Security into the profile management tool for deployment specifically of business space. And we'll go to slide number 19 and jump right into the profile management tool for deployment. So there's really two ways to do it. There's a standalone server and there's a, you know, cluster. So here we're going to talk about the standalone server, and basically, you know, you start the profile management tool, select the standalone cell profile option, and complete these steps. So complete one of the following steps. I prefer to select the advanced option for all of my installations because, you know, sometimes it may or may not, depending on your application, give you the option to configure a database, for instance. For instance, let's say in WebSphere Business Monitor, if you select a typical profile creation option, even for business space, when you're installing, right, it's going to, you know, deploy into a Derby database, for instance. So I'd like to, you know, point out we always want to kind of do the advanced option. If you want to, you don't necessarily have to configure the advanced options. You can kind of click next, but it will give you the choice, right? And we like the choice. Business space configuration page, you know, we can make sure, you know, that the configure business space checkbox is selected in the advanced, you know. Business space is configured with your product data source, so if you're using the PMT with, let's say, IBM WebSphere Dynamic Process Edition business space is going to be configured with a WebSphere process server data source. When you designate the host name for your profile, use a fully qualified host name. And complete the profile creation using the profile management tool. When you complete that, business space is installed typically. It's configured for the same database product as you designated for the common database. You know, that's using the advanced option, or with Derby embedded if the database product is not supported, or typically if you use the, you know, easy or the typical profile creation option. If the database is remote, you actually have to configure the database tables after running the profile management tool, and that database is remote to business space, right? And I put in a little link on configuring business space database tables in the case that your database is remote to the application server. So if you don't mind, Kathy, we'll move on to the next slide here. And I'm not even sure what slide this is. Slide number 20. Okay, so we're continuing with profile management tool. Okay, so for the deployment environment, also known as a cluster, you know, select the deployment manager profile or the custom profile option and complete, you know, one of the following steps. On the profile creation options page, select the deployment environment option to configure each profile with customized configuration values, and use it in a deployment environment based on a supplied pattern. Right? You want to follow the profile management tool steps to create a deployment manager profile and also custom profiles, also known as managed nodes. After all the custom nodes are federated, run scripts to configure the database tables manually. This is the same URL that I used earlier, so configuring business space tables, because I'm assuming at this point your database is probably going to be on a different machine than the business space, since you're a deployment environment. And we'll move to slide number 21 now, and moving into the agenda, where we'll talk about the packaging and deployment of custom widgets. Okay, so we'll go to slide number 22, if you don't mind, Kathy, and we'll get into packaging and deploying custom widgets. It was actually a lot of information, so I put the full instructions in a link here, but I wanted to highlight some of the pain points or troublesome things that we've seen come through support. And most of it's been with clustered environments. So on a clustered environment, we want to, you know, basically use the install business space widgets command. That command should actually be executed on the deployment manager node. Okay, so the question is, why would it work only on the deployment manager node and not on the, let's say, process server node or WebSphere Business Monitor node or Compass node? Basically, because widgets are managed by a cluster where business space is running, and the cluster is managed by the deployment manager. So widgets configuration should be done on the deployment manager node. And when you actually use this install business space widgets command, it doesn't necessarily give you a trace file to see what the command did. So to generate the trace, we need to specify the minus connection type none, you know, as a WS admin argument, and that should actually generate the trace before you run that install business space widgets command. So if you don't mind, Kathy, we'll go on to the next slide. Back to the agenda. Okay, so now we're going to talk about removing a business space profile. So if you don't mind, Kathy, we'll go into slide number 24 and talk about removing a business space profile. Okay, so the first thing to do, if you're not sure whether business space is already configured or not, we wanted to run this get business space deploy status command to check whether business space is configured on a server, on a cluster, or on a cell. So there's really two main options available to remove a business space. You can use an uninstall business space WS admin command to remove all business space framework, ear files, from the designated profile and the business space folder under your profile. So to use this command to remove business space, we need to complete the following steps, which is, you know, opening up a command window. We're using the wsadmin command, and that's typically in your profile root bin directory, to run this. In the deployment manager, it's the deployment manager profile root bin directory. At the command prompt, we're going to type in wsadmin to start that wsadmin environment. And now use the uninstall business space command to remove that framework and the air files from the profile. So to do that, we run the admin config.save. This is a JSON, or, you know, admin config.save jackal to start up the environment, right? And we have a following example uses JSON to run uninstall business space. So it's admin task.uninstall business space, and we have the cluster name, you know, my cluster. So you have to actually put in minus cluster name, and my cluster is actually your cluster, right, whatever the cluster name is, and minus save is true. So, and we have an example using Jackal as well for that option. If you don't mind, Kathy, we'll move to slide number 25 and talk about the other method to remove a business-based profile. And we can use the manage profiles command utility to remove business spaces from a profile. So we wanted to, you know, use one of the following commands depending on your environment. And you know, we have an example there for standalone. We have an example there for deployment manager. And we have an example there for a custom profile. In this case, your ear files for your widgets remain and must be removed separately by using the uninstall business space widgets command, which we just, you know, used in the previous slide. So, you know, the previous slide is probably better than this option. And also, using this option, and I think using both options, actually, that several directories and files may not be removed. So, you know, if the intent is to install business space again on the same cluster at a later time, the directories and files should be removed manually after uninstalling completes. So some of the directories that can be manually removed are as follows, and we want to, you know, check for these directories in either case. So also wanted to mention it was in clustered environments, the custom profiles are not touched during the uninstall. This basically means that business space assets remain on the profile and should be resynchronized with the deployment manager, and the remaining directories, you know, and deployed ears need to be removed manually in that case. So let's move on to slide 26, and looking like we're moving now into business space specific security. So, you know, again, we have multiple layers of security, and, you know, we've already talked about Web3 application security. Now we want to talk about specific security as related to business space. And jumping to slide number 27, Kathy, we're going to talk about or introduce some of the business space specific security user roles. We have four basic security roles. The first one is a super user. This guy or this person has the administrative privileges that allow them to see all of the spaces and pages. And it's the only user with the ability to manage templates. Typically, the super user is the same user you use to install your base product in most cases. However, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. We also have an owner. An owner of a space is, you know, a person who created it. So he or she went into business space, logged in, and created a space. So that created pages. The owner can create pages in that space and assign viewer and editor privileges to those pages. And that user, since he or she created it, can delete or transfer ownership or share or export that space. Of course, super user can do that as well, but, you know, no other person, unless they've shared that, can do that other than the owner. We also have an editor role. Editor can add and share pages in a space. They can add widgets to pages and customize the widgets. A user is assigned an editor privileges by the owner of the space or a super user. And then finally, we have a viewer. Basically, the viewer can access the page of a space and resize the widgets. A viewer cannot add pages or share them at all. And if you don't mind, Kathy, we would like to move on to the next slide, which is slide number 28. Okay, but so we want to talk about a little bit of creating super users. Okay, so before creating super users, we want to make sure of a few things. We want to log into Business Space with a user that will be a super user at least one time. And basically that's going to set them up in you know, the database as a super user. Or it's going to reference the user as a user of Business Space, not necessarily a super user, but you know that user is now in the system, right? So we want to make sure that the default administrator group name is not changed yet. Well, I guess we can consider changing it at different points, but at this point, we want to create a new super user. So we want to leave everything the same. We're using a default repository for the user registry, and we want to start a server or the deployment manager for your Business Space environment for the profile where Business Space is installed, and we want to open a command prompt and change the directory to your profile root bin, where that is the directory for the profile hosting Business Space, and then we want to use the following command, which is, a WSAdmin command. And we're using Jython in this command. The administrator username is, you know, for instance, going to be a fully qualified username in a federated repository probably. So it might look like, you know, CN equals username or UID equals username, CN equals DC, you know, DC equals IBM, DC equals com, something like that. If it's a federated repository. If it's not, it's like something standalone, it still might be a fully qualified username, or it could be something as simple as just a basic username in the local OS. So that user ID is a unique identifier for a user in your user repository, and that password is the password for that user. If that user exists in VMM, the user is going to be added to that administrator group, which is perfect, exactly what we want. If you don't mind, Kathy, we'll move on to the next slide there. So if you want to change, and we're going to talk about changing administrator super user groups, if you want to change that administrative group, we need to perform the following steps on a standalone server. I think I'll talk about a network deploy later. So we want to modify the metric com.ibm.mashups.admin group name in the configuration in the configuration file is, a directory kind of like this. It's, well, pretty much exactly like this. It's going to be your profile root business space, then your node name, your server name, and it's going to be mm.runtime.prop/config/config services.properties. And we want to run a command as follows, update property config in the WS environment. And we're looking for, you know, your server name, your node name, the property file name, and we're going to minus prefix that with mashups underscore. And then, of course, we're going to save that and restart the server. And that should update your administrative group. And we'll move on to the next slide, which is slide number 30. And now we want to validate, you know, whatever changes we made. So to check what the server is currently expecting as a super user group to be when that security is enabled, we want to check the following. You know, we're going to request this file, which is in your profile root, and we want the config service.properties. We want to get a screenshot of the following properties, or you can just look at it in your admin console. We want to navigate to the resources environment, and resource environment providers. So we're going to select all the scopes. We're going to look for the entry mashup underscore config services, and we're going to click on that link. And then on the next page, under additional properties, we're going to select custom properties. Now we can actually look for the entries in com.ibm.matchups.adminGroupName and display space admin features group. Whatever is displayed here is actually your administrator group, right? So this is what's actively your group. So let's say you have, for instance, a standalone LDAP, and you wanted to add users or super users to your administrator group, and you already had an administrator group defined here. So basically, you could go into your standalone LDAP tool and add, you know, any user to, as an administrator using that standalone LDAP tool. And now that they're administrators in LDAP, they're also administrators in Business Space. Well, this is kind of a silly workaround, but it works in that case for standalone, right? Not for federated. It's a little bit different. So we'll move to slide number 31, and I believe this is our last slide. All right, so this is a summary, so, of our presentation. It's, again, it's a best practice to use a federated LDAP for Web3 application security. We want to, avoid changing security strategies midstream. So we want to configure whatever security strategy we want before installing Business Space. We want to make sure that we disable automatic LTPA key generation in all the cells, or we will risk having incompatible keys. If Business Space is hosted on a different cell from where the rest of your products that use Business Space are, you're going to need to configure a single sign-on, and you must import the SSL certificate in this case. Before adding a super user, we want to remember to log in to Business Space with a user that's going to be a super user at least one time so they get identified in the system. And, you know, the command will be able to run and succeed, you know, only if that user has actually logged into Business Space at least one time. Thank you for your time, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic back to Kathy. She will continue the presentation.
Thank you, Sergio, for a great presentation.
If you'd like to ask a question on the phone, please dial *1 at this time. We have no questions.
Okay, and there are no questions in the group chat. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sergio, for presenting today.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.